Brother Rick, if you'll kindly step forward. In hymns, we hear a lot of beautiful tones, don't we? There's one set of tones that we look at and stands out from the rest, and that is the melody. The melody, as you all know, is the main part of the song. It's this, what the song is made up from. And for you to have a melody, you would have to have this true order, and that's what brings this song about. If you didn't have a melody, you wouldn't have a song. Actually, you'd just have sounds. And it would just be an unorganized manner of arrangement. The melody is also the main part that everyone is familiar with. It's just like the melody we've just heard. Everyone here knows what that song was. And we, if Steve or anyone else would get up to the organ and play a hymn, just pick out anything out of the hymnal and just play the melody, I think every one of us here would know what that melody would be. Why? It's because we have sang these songs over and over through our lives at the end of discourses or beginning of discourses or in special meetings that we have gathered together for. And once we have learned this melody, it seems to stay with us for life. Now, if you don't believe that, then I think, how long ago was it that you learned the song, the B-I-B-L-E? Or how long ago was it when you learned, Jesus Loves Me? I don't know about you, but I think these songs, when I was about Sarah's age or Emily's age, I think I learned them then. And I don't remember this with the words. But I remember the melody. That's what I remember. And I'm willing to think that they too will remember the melodies when they get our age. Now, recognizing the melody is one thing, but again, remembering the words, well, that's a different accomplishment. Now, a melody is very nice to listen to, but there's something that's, when it's added, makes the song a little bit more presentable. It enhances the song more. And it gives it more, makes it more complete. You know what that is? And it's not the lyrics. But it's something else. If you listen closely. Have what? Harmony. Webster Dictionary says that harmony is the combination of parts put into a pleasing and orderly fashion of sounds. And as you heard, the melody is now accompanied with three distinct parts which fit into the structure of the song and the hymn and has given it a more beautiful presentation than it was before. Now, we could spend all morning probably talking about music theory, but I don't think that's what you came here for. And I don't think you want to hear that because, and I don't blame you, because when I took it in school, It was, I was lost at first, and it was Greek to me. Actually, it was more Latin than Greek, because actually that's what the words use in the music that describes the song is in Latin. Anyway, the more I learned about it, and the more I was able to see how things really fit together in music. It's really something to see. But if one is not interested in the innermost concepts of music, then it would become very boring. Hopefully this is not the case. But because what I would like to do now is just use this as an illustration, and as we do so many other times, and make examples of things and bring out certain points, which in essence is makes it easier for us to follow and makes it simple to understand. And that works for me. Simple-minded. Okay, first of all, let's see what kind of characteristics we can come up with this melody. Number one, it was the main focus or part of the song. And number two, all of the other parts must fit and be in harmony with each note of the melody. Now, we will say that this second characteristic is what we will consider as the law. Remember this, because you will see what happens if any notes are not exactly fitting into place with the melody structure. And number three, the melody can be performed by one voice, and we know that is called a solo, or if many, many voices join together in singing this melody, we would call that in unison. Now let's see how we can use these points and put them into a study, or how it can pertain to our spiritual growth, or how we can tie them into the scriptures. The first point we made was what? The melody is the main focus or structure of the song. So we could say it was something that all of the rest of the tones must follow. Now who do you think fits this illustration? None other than our Lord Jesus, right? He is our example. He is the one that set the standard. He is the one that was perfect in every way. He is the one with which our main focus must be on. He is that melody that we all know and love very much. So, who must be illustrated by the second point we mentioned? All other tones must conform and fit in harmony with the melody. Okay, I think we would agree that it's those who have desired to give up their interest here on this earth and are striving to be a part of the same example, following in the footsteps day after day. All who have chosen to put their very best efforts and being in harmony with the melody. And the third point was the solo. Now, who do you think that is, or that could be? Why, of course, it's our Lord Jesus again. But there are many other voices singing. Let's say 144,000, all singing the same melody in unison. Now, who does that illustrate? I think you got the picture. I think we could say that when these 144,000 join with the one, makes this song complete. And most beautiful song it will be. The true overcomers joining with the Lord to bring back what into this world? Harmony. Thus fulfilling God's plan. Now, let's listen to this wonderful hymn again, since we all now have all the parts together.
Is this harmonious?
I don't think so, unless one is tone deaf. Of yes, I remember. It's the law. Remember what the law was? The law was that all the tones must fit exactly in order with the melody. And that definitely was not the correct order of things. Now we have discord. Discord. And Webster best defines this as a harsh and confused noise. And I think we'd all agree with that definition. This really opens up some very important lessons for us. When there is discord, what is needed? Adjustments. Adjustments. In music, discord is caused by a number of things. Maybe it's because it's the being out of tune. The instrument is out of tune, or the voice. Maybe it was by the errors in the way that it was played. Maybe it's because the way it was written was not the correct way. In either case, both are remedied by corrections done on an individual basis. So if we chose to strive to follow in the master's footsteps and we stray, do we have discord? You bet. So we can say that we experience discord in our lives periodically? I don't think so. I think we'd be safe to say that we probably experience discord just about every day of our lives. It's what we do that makes the difference. Now let me ask another question. Do you think we have discord with one another? Amongst our brethren? I don't think we do in our ecclesia, but we hear about division, and we hear about ecclesias, or we hear about disagreements that have split classes, or we see friendships dissolve. That's very sad. But aren't we to be co-laborers and love one another? Scriptures state, if we love God and hate our brother, then what are we? Liars. Hypocrites. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. 1 John 4:19 to 21. Or let's look at Colossians 3:13. NIV says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." We don't have to agree with each other's thoughts on things. We all have our ideas. But if we have disagreements that affects our feelings for one another, then that is what is serious. And that's what must be corrected immediately. So, dealing with our flesh and the world and the adversary is a daily battle, isn't it? It's a daily struggle. It's constant discord. And it's how we handle ourselves and what actions we take to correct those errors in our lives. Sometimes a musician will carry a tuning apparatus. That helps them stay focused, stay in tune. So what is our tuning apparatus? I think we could say that it's our Lord and His example, and in addition, God's Word. What we have right here in front of us today. followed by our constant communication with our Heavenly Father. How? Through prayer. He knows what we are in need of. He knows what our limits are. And He especially knows what our heart intentions are. And thank God for that. Looking at the Scriptures, are they harmonious? Using the original Greek and Hebrew texts, we can say from the first to the very last. Look at the chart of ages. Look how wisely God permitted to have evil come into this world to develop, to be in order to develop His church, in which is to be made perfect through suffering, so it can be more prepared for the glorious work it will have in the future. Okay. Also, how the masses of mankind is to learn the full and exceeding experiences of sin and death, so they too will fully know God, who God is, and also of His great love that He has by arranging the death of His only begotten Son. It's all there. All there. It's all necessary. He arranged the death of his only begotten Son, which was necessary not only for our recovery from sin, but for the entire human race. But if we did not have this melody, this example, and through His merit, we would not even be able to approach God, our Heavenly Father, would we? Webster also defines harmony as an agreement in feeling or to be in accord. And the other definition to discord is just the opposite. Lack of agreement. Dissension. There are so many examples in the Scriptures that show us what is in harmony and what is in discord. Let's look at a few. Reading from the NIV, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can definitely see the harmony and the discord here. Wages of sin, discord. Gift of God, eternal life in our Lord Jesus, harmony. Luke 16:13. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. Harmony, serve God. Discord, serve mammon. How about light and darkness? Light versus darkness. 1 John 1:5. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. What is light? Truth. What is darkness? Sin. Harmony versus discord. What are we told to set our minds on? Things above or earthly things? Which is in harmony? Which is in discord? Let's take a look at Colossians 3:2 and see what it advises us to do. Set our minds on the heavenly things above. In Romans 7:22-23, the Apostle Paul stated that in his inner being, he had delight in harmony of God's law. But yet, there was another law that was worked within himself, which was a constant war within his mind and body. That was sin. So we even see that Apostle Paul experienced discord in his life too. But did he let discord win over? No. He knew that what was more important in his life, and just as we also know what is more important in our lives, that we are to try to make our calling and election sure. And in Romans 12:2, reading from NIV, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's a verse that really struck home. Galatians 1:10. This is from Paul again. He asks the question, am I now trying to win the approval of men or God? Or am I trying to please men? What is our question to this answer? What is our answer to this question? Excuse me. Those of us who are employed know we have to follow the order of things, don't we? We have to follow what our boss says and follow the rules and regulations of our job. But are we to follow after them, after our boss, or after employees, after the day is over? Are we to follow in the ways of man, or are we to follow in the ways that is pleasing to the Heavenly Father? Paul answers it this way. If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Isn't that the answer we want to give as well? Of course it is. Now, how do we stay in harmony with the Heavenly Father and the doing of His will? Well, I think Matthew 18:20 tells us, and gives us a good start here. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Gathering together, whether it be two or three, or what we have here today, with the number of our class being gone, we all have the desire to want to learn of His Word and to seek the truth. We all enjoy one another's fellowship, and we want to help each other up the same narrow path that we're all striving to follow after, aren't we? That's one way. Another way is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. A continuous line of communication, always open to the Heavenly Father, as we said in our study this beginning of this, today. It's a continuous line. We always have to put our Heavenly Father first in all things, no matter what it is, and giving Him the glory and the honor and the praise. Another way is in 1 Timothy 6:12, fighting the good fight of faith against our weaknesses and sin. Keeping the whole armor of God on, as Ephesians 6:13 tells us, admonishes us to do. Another way to stay in harmony is found in 1 Timothy 4:12. Be thou an example of the believers, not only to the ones that are in the truth, but to the world. Thus setting the example in word, in character, in action, in our conduct. But also letting our light shine from the lessons we learned from the Scriptures. Matthew 5:16. And if we stay harmonious to the Lord, and we are faithful unto death, then what is our reward? Revelations 2:10 says a crown of life. But getting back to this melody and the one singing, who do you think we could say is the composer?
Our Heavenly Father.
His song will be composed of His wisdom, His power, His justice, and His love. But as we know, this song is not ready to be performed yet. Why? Because not all of the 144,000 voices are assembled together.